In a global industry where anything can happen, where mistakes cost much more than dollars, we bring you expertise from around the world to ensure that everyone goes home safe every day. The internationally acclaimed Oil and Gas HSE podcast starts now with your host, Russell Stewart.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the internationally acclaimed OGGN HSE podcast sponsored by Enderson Hauser. Enderson Hauser is a global leader in measurement instrumentation services and solutions for industrial process engineering. Today, I have two guests on the show, and sticking with our international flavor here, first of all, I've got Gav Martell, and Gav, you are the Chief Operating Officer for SkyX, is that correct?
That is correct.
Well, thanks for coming on the show. I really appreciate you taking the time. Jeff is the VP of Global Sales and Business Development, and Jeff, you're in another foreign country, right?
I am. I'm in the foreign country of Austin, Texas. It's becoming more foreign every day.
Actually, of course, people in Texas will know this. I don't know if people in the rest of the states will or even internationally, but the fact that Austin is its own little foreign country inside of what everybody considers as traditional conservative Texas is actually the case and is, as you said, becoming more so every day. So Gav is in Toronto. He's about to tell us, I think your CEO is in Israel, and he's going to talk to us about that in just a minute because your CEO's kind of got an exciting background. But how'd you hook up with these guys in Austin, Texas?
You know, not long ago, back in, I guess, February timeframe of this year, they reached out to me looking for someone to really, you know, up the game a little bit in the technology enterprise software sales arena and have someone with a background in enterprise sales within the oil and gas space. And myself, I've spent my career here in Texas traveling the world, but also working in some of the biggest technology companies, as well as some smaller companies, you know, focusing on cloud computing, big data analytics, business intelligence applications, and building applications for oil and gas companies to really look at data, building dashboards and things of that nature. And so it was a great fit.
Okay, so tell us about the Israel connection.
Yeah, so our founder, Didi Horn, was a drone pilot for the Israel Defense Forces. And when he finished his service, he, you know, came out and was looking for how drones, how there was space for drones to integrate into different markets. And he fell upon this idea to have drones that were specific to long-range assets. And obviously, oil and gas pipeline fits right in there. And he started work on both hardware and software that could provide the data needed to really make pipeline operations safer and more efficient.
Okay, so your contribution to HSE and the oil and gas industry is exactly what?
Is that for me or for Gav?
Yeah, I'm sure.
You know, I'm such a bad host sometimes, you know. People actually listen to this show just to learn what not to do on hosting a podcast. I'll throw that out to either one of you.
All right, Jeff, you want to handle that one?
Yeah. So our contribution to oil and gas and HSE specifically is we take and add another layer of data, more granular layer of data from the air utilizing drones, and we capture that data on a repeatable basis, and we bring that data back and put it in our platform to look for anomalies and changes either around or with the pipeline to avert catastrophes and to keep the health of the pipeline in the integrity of the pipeline, if you will.
So you guys fly drones. Of course, there's that's become quite popular in recent years, using drones to fly pipelines and various different facilities, especially if if they're not always manned and that sort of thing. But you guys do more than just fly drones. This other layer that you're talking about, tell me about that.
For sure. So, I mean, anywhere in the world now you see people who are purchasing drones off the shelf and then trying to provide services to different industries. And, you know, it's not difficult now to fly a drone safely for short distances. But when you're looking at pipelines or large areas of, you know, many square miles that need monitoring, you can't just send a drone up in the air and fly it for 15 minutes and then land it and fly it again for 15 minutes. What SkyX has put into the marketplace is a complete system that includes the hardware that is able to capture the data over these long distances, and then also the software systems that can break down all of that data and provide insights that are actionable.
And so this all this data and that sort of thing, it goes where?
So the data gets fed into our provisional software, into our proprietary software system called SkyVision. Within SkyVision, we're able to process those images, highlight areas of interest or anomalies, and then show them to the client in a very succinct way in a map that they're used to looking at of their asset. It includes the asset itself so they can see where those issues are. And then also they can export it into any system that they currently use to monitor their systems, whether it's ArcGIS or another platform.
So, Jeff, since you're the VP of Global Sales and Business Development, give me, and I don't know if it's okay if you don't mention the company, or if you want to mention the company, that's fine, but give me some examples of how you went in and solved a problem for somebody.
Well, one of the clients that we're working with that we're really proud of is Denbury here in North America. And for Denbury, we're flying their pipelines in Mississippi Delta area. So Mississippi, Louisiana, Texas area. And we're capturing data that they've never captured before. And what's interesting about that is the approach that we have taken with Denbury. And that approach is to work in tandem with them as a partner to seek to push the envelope on the data that they're collecting, how frequently they're collecting it, and then looking towards getting beyond visual line of sight together with them. And what that means is you extremely less expensive way of operating and gathering data along the pipeline, because we'll be able to do that. So we're going to work with them over time as part of our venture to push that envelope on beyond visual line of sight flight.
Okay. And traditionally that's what flying drones did. It just gave you a visual line of sight figure, and you've added this extra layer with this, I think you call it SkyVision software, right?
Yeah. So most pilots are flying line of sight. So they get up and fly, and they have to have the craft within line of sight, right? And so there's only a certain distance that they can fly when that craft is beyond that line of sight. And when there are challenges in North America and other places with getting, I would say, approval to fly beyond visual line of sight, one of those things that you need is an asset to do that with. So Denbury, we're going to be working with them at some point to look for some sort of an asset to do that.
And from a regulatory perspective, that allows us to then apply with Denbury to the FAA for that BV loss waiver and say we're, you know, improving the health and safety of people who live in and around these pipelines, of the people who work on the pipeline or monitor them by foot or truck. And so ultimately, when we apply together for that waiver, there's a much higher percentage chance of getting an approval.
Okay, so Jeff, you mentioned Denbury, you mentioned Mississippi. They have some assets here in Texas. Are you working with them here in Texas?
Well, they have assets in Texas, but we haven't flown those assets yet. But that is part of that, yes.
Okay, all right. The reason I was curious, they have a huge production field not too far from actually where I live. So you talk about doing it for them in Mississippi, and you talk about a pilot. What do? You go to the production facility where the pipeline's coming in, or you go out to where the pipeline starts at the Christmas tree or whatever,
This is a great question for Gav. He runs the operations, and the crew all work under him. So this would be a great answer.
Take us through that, Gav.
For sure. So what we do with all of our customers is we look at their assets, generally midstream, because again, we're looking at the at those long range assets, but also the large assets. So upstream would be a good example where you have many wells over a large area. And in addition to the government regulated mandate to fly aircraft over those areas and make sure everything's okay. These assets are now decades old in North America, and there's risk. You see what's happening in terms of weather and earthquakes and that kind of thing. And there's ultimately risk with pipeline that's underground and is decades old. And so what we're doing is flying, looking for any change. It could be a change, a man-made change because somebody's digging near a right of way. It could be a shift in ground or a crack in the ground because, weather has taken its toll on the right of way. But what we do is we work with the client to kind of identify the areas they'd like us to monitor. We come up with a concept of operations of how we'll fly the drones to capture the data to give to them. And then right away, we start working hand in hand with their HSE department, with their security maintenance teams, to kind of integrate ourselves into a very regulated industry. You can't just show up on a pipeline and start flying vehicles over a right of way without very closely coordinating that with the customer and their teams.
Okay, and you mentioned underground, probably we don't realize until every once in a while we do hear about an explosion or whatever. Many, I guess, hundreds of thousands of miles of pipeline that, go across just, say, the United States, which is, of course, all I'm familiar with. But they're everywhere. And you mentioned underground. So can you guys, how do you monitor something you can't see?
For sure. So just one point on that. I had a meeting with one of the executives from one of the larger oil and gas companies in North America. And the comment that stood out to me was that Joe Public is generally still the first warning sign that they get that there's been an event or a rupture, which is a scary thing when you think about that. A lot of these pipelines run under cities and towns and near.
There's a huge one right here in my subdivision.
Right. So our goal is not just to identify and see it before Joe Public sees it, but to actually identify areas of risk months or years in advance. So like you said, most of the pipeline is underground. What we're looking for is any change. When you take a person or a traditional aircraft with a pilot, and they fly or walk across a right of way for hundreds of miles, it's very difficult for them to pick up subtle changes that might have changed month over month or year over year. With our system, we're comparing images from previous flights and changes to previous flights for every single foot of that right of way. And so when there is a change, whether it's visible because it's sloping off of the right of way, or like I said, a crack, that's one potential. We also see dead vegetation. So recently we had a flight here in Toronto. We were flying for a customer, a gas customer, and we saw, some changes in growth patterns in a cornfield. And they sent a team out because that was a clear sign that there might be a leak underground that was not detectable through any other means other than this change in vegetation growth. So very often we're looking for things that the human eye wouldn't necessarily detect without a system that is doing this on a regular basis and comparing those models.
Yeah. And that's a great example of, detecting a leak, where somebody's farm crop is actually being threatened. And that's what we're about in this industry. And on this show and the entire Oil and Gas Global Network, we're huge advocates for, the oil and gas industry, and this attitude from, as you mentioned, Joe Q. Public, that you know, all we're out there is, you know, creating dirty land and dirty water and all that sort of thing. There's the oil and gas industry may be without parallel to any other industry in the ways that it tries to protect the environment, tries to keep the public and all its workers safe and healthy and that sort of thing. And so we're always glad to bring companies like yours on that showcase that kind of thing.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, it still remains that, you know, pipelines are the most efficient, effective, and clean way of delivering, you know, oil and gas to the public. And, you know, we want to keep those pipelines even healthier because they're older and they've been functioning really well. You know, and if you look at the alternative of putting oil and gas on a truck and delivering it, it's just not as systematic or as clean. So with those aging pipelines, being able to get a better, closer look at them, it's imperative.
Yeah, putting it on a truck or putting it on a train.
Precisely. They're all pipelines, but the traditional pipeline's the safest and most consistent.
Exactly. And from an environmental and safety standpoint, you know, you're not putting people's lives at risk on highways or the carbon emissions from the trucks and the trains and all that sort of thing. There's a huge difference there.
For sure. When you're putting them in trucks and trains, you're letting, you know, things into the environment as you fill each one of those vessels.
So I forgot to ask you guys at the beginning when we got interrupted by the dog, how long has SkyX been in business and how many countries are you in?
I think Gav's on mute. I think it's 5 years, Gav. Is that right?
Yeah, we've been in business for 5 years. We're operating in North America, South America, Africa, and I think that's it right now.
Well, now that's a pretty good story because, as we all know, starting out 5 years ago, I always love to hear stories of companies that are, you know, 5-6 years old, because you came into this industry when it wasn't exactly at its healthiest point.
Yeah, it's interesting also because, you know, as drones became a possible solution for the oil and gas industry, a lot of the large companies went out, purchased drones, set up teams to fly them, and weren't really interested in working with third parties to solve that problem. And then once you actually start collecting data and realizing the complexity of having useful, actionable data, a lot of them now have kind of either scaled those teams completely down or gotten rid of them and are turning to the experts in the field like Scott's.
There goes your dog again. And what kind of dog is it?
I've got a Shih Tzu and a Golden Doodle.
Oh, okay. That's great. Now, Gav, this technology that you have, especially when you're, well, I started to say third world countries, but that's not necessarily restricted to third world countries, but something else this technology contributes to in a big way, as far as HSE is concerned, is what we might call third-party activity, right?
That's right. And you're exactly right that it's not just so-called third-world countries. There's many established countries in the world where theft or political vandalism is an issue. You know, there's people who are trying to hack into oil and gas pipelines to steal it or just to create environmental problems for the oil and gas companies. We're in one country where they told us that sometimes the maintenance workers actually burst the pipelines, so that they will then get called to work on them. So, you know, it's in their own self-interest to cause a leak. So our system, you know, can track any kind of third-party activity, whether it's tire tracks where there were not previously tire tracks, signs of excavation. In some countries, you actually get thieves who are processing the oil nearby. So they have hoses that are visible. sheds where they're processing it or trucking it away. And so from that point of view, obviously health and safety is a much more alarming thing. There's obviously reports in the news that you can find from all over the world where there have been explosions and huge loss of life. So we're always very happy to work with those kinds of partners where it's such a critical issue and we're able to help solve that problem.
I tell you what, folks, that information right there just might have been worth the price of admission here today. Gavin, Jeff, this has been very interesting. Again, I appreciate you both coming on the show today. We'll be sure to include your LinkedIn contact information in the show notes so anyone listening can contact you directly. I want to, again, thank everyone for listening. Again, remind you this podcast would not be possible if it were not for our sponsor, Enderson Hauser. Please tell them thank you for sponsoring the show by going to our OGGN Enderson Hauser website, which you can find a link to in the show notes, and register for our monthly giveaway. Also, follow us on LinkedIn and Twitter, and that contact info you can find in the show notes as well. Finally, you can find in the show notes my LinkedIn contact info where you can message me. Please let me know what you're enjoying about the show and suggestions for content you might like to hear. Also, if you're looking for a speaker for a conference or meeting, you can contact me about having one from our OGGN Speakers Bureau, including Mark LaCour and myself. Please tune in again next week for another episode of Enderson Hauser's Oil and Gas HSE Podcast, a production of the Oil and Gas Global Network. Enderson Hauser is your reliable U.S.-based and international partner for measurement instrumentation services and solutions. We are your people for process automation. Please leave us a review on iTunes, like us on LinkedIn, and use all of your social networking to tell your friends about us, and we'll see you next time.
Tune in next week for another engaging episode of the Oil and Gas HSE Podcast, a production of the Oil and Gas Global Network. Learn more at oggn.com.